Our scripture reading for this Lord's Day is from the Gospel according to John. This is the account we have of Jesus' resurrection as it comes to us in John. One of the interesting things you've noticed, I'm sure, is that the Gospels have different ways that they talk about what happened on that first Easter morning. And I invite you this morning to pay close attention to this scripture passage from John. Chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. Then he saw the linen wrappings, and Jesus' head was not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their home. But Mary stood weeping outside of the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Amen. May God bless this reading of his holy word to you this day. Please be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, it's Easter, and we are here. And let's face it, things have been pretty predictable so far, and that's how we like it, right? You came into the sanctuary, you were given a bulletin with a colorful cover on it, and that just felt right. We have the wonderful, wonderful special music of the choir. We have the brass instrumentalists with us today. You know, we like when our expectations are fulfilled. We truly do. We don't really care for when things get too changed up. There's sort of a grounding, I think, a sense of centeredness to rhythms and to patterns and the way we feel things should just be. Winter, spring, summer, fall, right? Monday follows Sunday, Tuesday follows Monday. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, good books with a real beginning, a fantastic middle, and a great end. It feels pretty good. Feels good. As for myself, I know I can get pretty attached, maybe even super attached to what I like as being predictable and the routines that I can expect. Don't throw me a surprise party ever, please. I'm not one that really likes them. I don't. Count me out. But I know people out there who just love them, and that's fine. Not for me. Sometimes I'll be deep in thought in my office, and Michael will all of a sudden just be standing there in the doorway, right, Michael? And you say a word or two, and I don't even know he's there, and he will vouch for this. I practically jump out of my skin like I've seen a ghost. I am so surprised. I'm so surprised. I tease him. I say, "You're going to give me a heart attack one of these days." So I like things. I like things just how I like things. And, you know, I guess Michael said I wasn't supposed to mention it today, but I am going to mention it today, I think. It's kind of interesting that April Fool's and Easter Sunday are on the same day this year. But don't play an April Fool's joke on me, please. I'm just telling you. They're good in my book as long as they happen to somebody else. So here's the thing, though. Today, we are talking about the biggest surprise ever. We really are. And as for me, someone who really doesn't like surprises, you know, I have my idiosyncrasies, my predictability. I find that really rather a little bit more than disconcerting. And yet I have to realize something, and I think all of us need to realize something, that any attempt to, like, water down the surprise factor or overlook it or trivialize it in any way when it comes to Easter, I think that is nothing short of dangerous. It truly is. Nothing short of dangerous. Why? Because we take the risk of keeping Jesus' resurrection long ago in the past, a good story that really has not so much anything to do with us today. And that means then we take the shocking reality of it out. We don't see how death becoming life happens in our own lives in actually stupefying ways. Somehow, I think there is a weird appropriateness to Easter and April Fool's being on the same day, and this is how. We were here on Good Friday, and we gave more than a passing nod to Jesus' crucifixion. We were, some of us here, as we remembered those who were so desolate at the foot of the cross, and there was such sorrow and such feeling of emptiness, and we talked about how we need to bury those things with Jesus that we deal with, that really maybe need to stay safe and secure, hidden in the darkness with him. Michael and I shared strips of cloth with people who are here as a way of having a sign and a symbol tied around our wrists of all those things that we want to stay buried with Jesus. And then we have more desolation going on as we look at the Gospel of John for this morning, and we hear about Mary Magdalene just weeping outside of the tomb, and we hear about her confusion, and we do get all of that. But then there's a stunning revelation. Stunning. What she expected to be a hard and fast and irrevocable truth wasn't what she thought. We can imagine she was ready for anything but what she found, an experience of Jesus in a new and vital way. And no matter how you see this resurrection account, I have a feeling here this morning, there are various thoughts and beliefs and opinions. Some of us are true skeptics, and that's fair. Some of us have firmly stood on the belief of the bodily resurrection of Jesus all of our life, and that is part of who we are and how we live our lives, and that is fair. We all come at this differently, but no matter what the shocking revelation is, she saw Jesus in a new and vital way, in a way that she never expected. It's like God saying, "Fooled you, didn't I?" And so maybe we can let ourselves be caught off guard. Maybe we can let ourselves feel the shocking understanding that this passage brings to us today. Maybe we can open our hearts and our minds so that God works and moves within us and within these words that I read in such a way that we feel a new presence going on in our lives. I hope so. And maybe, okay, maybe even more than that, we can feel invited to laugh, to laugh, to laugh and laugh and laugh at how much we like our patterns, you know, how much we like our routines. We did have a surprise this morning with our lilies being such as they are, and you know, maybe there's a weirdness and an appropriate weirdness about that. Because God's new life does not act on our personal timeline, on what we want and what we expect, what we think would be best. So we laugh at our routines, our plans. God laughs maybe too, in some way, at our plans. We fall off, and I think, into the sleepy trance of thinking that death will always win out, that death always has the final word, the final say, the final everything. But today we call that into deep question, don't we? God comes along and startles us and says, it's not what you think. Let's let that hope shake us up, you know, more than a little bit. Break up any and all hardened crusts we may have around our heart, be those crusts of cynicism or despair or disappointment, what have you. There's a crazy and disorienting wildness to Easter. And it's because death comes face to face with life. And that's always such an implausible option. I happen to like what Kenneth Arnold has said in his book, Sabbath, Sacraments, and Seasons. The Easter Sunday, Christian churches proclaim, that's an audacious claim, that death shall have no dominion over us. Our lives are measured not by our mortality, but by our immortality. Each of us, anonymous or known, poor or rich, miserable or happy, unloved or lovely, each of us wears the colors of eternity. We have the cloth that Jesus was wrapped in, buried in the tomb, staying in the tomb. And now, today, we rejoice because we, each one of us, wears the colors of eternity. We also need to be aware of this. The proclamation, Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. It's not just about realizing that death doesn't have a final, ultimate grip on us. Because of Easter, our lives look different to us. Dead ends become living ends, right? That's a startling truth. Who hasn't been tempted to feel like, oh, another dead end? Maybe when all of a sudden you are given a pink slip from the company that you have dedicated your life working for, and now all of a sudden you hear because of some takeover, your services are not welcome any longer. Or maybe you put aside money for your children or for your grandchildren or for a future retirement, and you look at that dead end of, it's worth perhaps half of what it might have been worth 11 years ago, dead end. Or when the doctor comes in and says, I'm sorry, the test didn't turn out quite like we had hoped, dead end, really? Or when your adult children decide that they don't want you interfering as much in their lives as you have, perhaps, or in their perception you have. And if it's okay, they just assume would rather you didn't really, you know, connect with the grandchildren as much. Or when someone out of the blue, a spouse, says, I don't think I love you anymore. In fact, I wonder if I ever really loved you. Dead end, dead end, dead end after dead end. Or are they? God is the God who brings new life with resurrection power. That is what we are saying today. Dead ends become inroads, inroads. And they become inroads through the gift of trust that we are given, the trust that grows as we move forward in a way we never think will be possible, but it actually becomes possible. We are called to see with a new and open heart, and we are called to see by the one who says, by the power at work within us, I can accomplish abundantly far more than you can ask or imagine. We hear echoed throughout any triumphant alleluias. No matter what you may go through, true life wins, hope wins. No matter what, the eternal love God has for you will always win, will always outdistance any calamity, any tragedy, any time you feel like you've just seen the writing on the wall, any time you are confronted with something that doesn't make sense, any time that you feel the life has just been knocked out of you. It really hasn't. It's like a punchline that we never saw coming, right? Speaking of punchlines, I have an Easter joke for you. You can tell it around your dinner table today. I just heard it. What do you call a line of Easter bunnies walking backwards? A receding hairline, right? Even grandma's gonna like that one. I love what Jerry Herships of After Hours Church in Denver has said. God has to have a sense of humor when you think about it. Just look at the hippos, the giraffes, and the Kardashians. I invite you to laugh. I invite you to laugh at the ways our predictability just gets all stirred up. Let the Easter story catch you off guard, give you new eyes to see the grace and the love and the peace, which, as Michael shared in that with that illustration of the box, it's all in there if we have eyes to see. It's in there when we hear what we think is the final door being shut. It's in there when we feel like the last goodbye has been said or the last chapter has been written. May we see the surprising resurrection life each and every day. Let me close with just this wonderful brief entry that was written by Bob Morse, Episcopal priest. He wrote several books. He used to live, maybe still does, I don't know, but he was a priest at Calvary Episcopal Church in Summit for many, many years, and he founded the whole program of Interweave. And so he wrote in his journal this very brief passage, which is in his book, Provocative Grace, and he did so after a severe bout of depression. And here's what he wrote, and I ask you to carry this with you today. Like plants, tendrils crawling out from under winter's darkening leaf cover, cracking open the hard soil of frozen days, thirsting for the light, we seek for you, O God, not realizing you are the power which raises us to search itself. All along you are there, already, always, and everywhere, resurrection and life. Amen. Join with me in prayer. Oh God, you alone knows what is going on in our hearts this day. Perhaps you see the troubled nature of what we are dealing with. Perhaps you see our confusion or feelings of lostness. Or perhaps you see us reflecting on all those things that we feel we can count on. And no matter what, raise us to new life, we pray in Jesus so that resurrection may not be foreign to our eyes or to our understanding. Guide and direct us, we pray, throughout this day and in the weeks again, may we truly be people of your resurrection, Easter people. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.